Welcome to the Chocolate Cake Bites podcast. This is a podcast where we will discuss the sweet nuggets of goodness that come from living the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm your host, Ken Williams. The opinions, attitudes, thoughts, and ideas that we discuss are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily a reflection of the actual doctrines of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Thanks for listening and enjoy this week's conversation.
And as promised, we have Annette back. She finally has decided to join us. Grace us with her presence.
Wow.
Annette is here. And she's my favorite sister, by the way.
Aw. That's on the podcast right now.
Does Candace listen? I don't know if she does.
I'm going to text her and tell her to listen.
And then we have young old favorite. We have Carissa with us. It's been a while since you've been on the podcast. You haven't had anything going on in your life. So that's, I don't understand what's taking you so long. So Carissa is a fairly new mom, and poor Grayson is,
I'm so sorry,
joining us as well.
I'm so sorry. I moved you.
I know, that's offensive.
Yeah. It's very rude of me. I'm so sorry.
Hope he has lots to say.
So we were talking about different things to talk about, and there's actually a question that came up that I thought would be interesting to have a conversation on with Annette, who is my favorite sister, and Carissa, who is my favorite daughter.
Yeah.
Don't tell anybody else.
Awesome. All true.
So, but I thought Carissa might have a perspective that a little bit different because she's my daughter, but also she has a newborn, not newborn anymore. He's almost 3 months. Holy cow. 3 months.
Yeah.
And hungry all the time.
The question though, Ken, is are you in a position where you can hear what Carissa might need to say?
I'll mute her.
Therapy session.
I was going to mute myself so that I couldn't respond directly when she's saying whatever she needs to say. But we were thinking about how do you develop a relationship with each child? So Carissa has one. I have five. Annette has four. But in addition to that, Annette, you have a son-in-law.
Correct.
Who does not like avocados. I don't understand what his problem is. Why does he not like avocados?
How do you know that and I don't?
Caitlin told him.
She might have told me and I just didn't retain it. It's not personal.
Yeah, so she told me as they were dating, Uncle Ken, what do I do? He doesn't like avocados. I said, more avocados for you. Okay. Yeah, so
more for us.
That's right. So you've got some grandkids in the mix.
Three, grandkid.
Four, five? Okay, one. So we're
talking. You are older than me.
Oh my goodness. So one of the things that I think is important, and so I just want to get Carissa's perspective, get Annette's perspective as well. Because I think this is important in family relationships, but I hope this isn't a surprise to anybody, but every kid is different.
What? Wait, whoa.
Don't tell me that.
Okay, hold on, Carissa.
They're all going to be the same, just like this guy.
Look at, I know if they're all like him, that would be amazing, right?
That would be great.
he's so fun to watch. But, so Carissa, of your siblings, there is nobody who's even really remotely similar to you in temperament and personality. You could kind of say, no, you couldn't even say Allison.
Well, not growing up.
No, not at all.
Now we're similar, but we're not the same.
No, not at all. There are some similarities, but how do you as a parent, I'm asking rhetorically, how does a parent develop a relationship with their children? With two things in mind. Number one, the child sometimes makes choices that are different than what the parent absolutely knows with a certainty is the right choice. Right. And then the other thing is, everybody's so different. So if you have a child who loves robotics and you don't love robotics, how do you develop a relationship with somebody who has interests that are not yours? I need my Jeopardy music.
I mean,
this is all I have, though.
This is something that Race and I have been discussing lately, because he has a lot of interests that I support him in, but mm-hmm. I'm not as interested in.
Right.
He's recently started doing judo and Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Okay.
And I'm really excited for him about that, but I'm probably not going to go and do it as well. Uh-huh. But when he gets back from his classes, he wants to tell me all about it and all of these things. And I just have to kind of just listen to him. Like, that's what he wants. That's what he needs, is someone to just listen to him.
Right.
About those things that he likes. And he wants that support. And so the way that I can support him is by listening to him, by being encouraging for him to keep going, keep trying, keep doing new things like that. So even though it's not of the greatest interest to me in that I wouldn't do it, I'm interested in it because he's interested in it.
Okay. So I'm going to ask a question that I'm not sure I want to hear the answer to.
Let me get my popcorn.
Yeah, exactly. One of the things that I tried to do as you guys were growing up was spend time with each of you individually on a regular basis. And sometimes I got it weekly and sometimes it was less often. But what, and maybe the question that I want to ask is, what were you looking for? What would have been good for you? And I didn't want to necessarily seed your mind with that answer. That's just the one thing that I can think of right off the spot that I did. But what were some things that that you think worked for you as you were growing up, where we were able to develop relationships with each of you individually?
One thing that I specifically remember is, especially when we were younger, you would do daddy dates mm-hmm. on Saturdays. So what it was usually something that you just had to do anyways, like you would have to go run errands to like Menards or something like that.
Right.
But you'd bring us with you. And so that way we got to spend one-on-one time with you. Mm-hmm. And I always really liked those. And then we always got coupons to Bob Evans for our birthdays.
Oh,
we got
free
entree or something like that for our birthdays. So you'd always do that. And I remember looking forward to that every year. Was our Bob Evans birthday trip.
We had some
And I know that's not your favorite restaurant, but you would go with us because it was something that we looked forward to. And I remember looking forward to that each year, was going to Bob Evans with you, going for our birthdays and going on little daddy dates on Saturdays, just whether it was to go get ice cream or to go to the store with you or things like that. And that's something that we continued to do for me growing up, is I would go with you to the store mm-hmm. On whether it was Sam's Club and Costco or just Walmart, but we would go to the store together and we would just like chat as we were shopping. And that was something that I really liked, was just having a little bit of time with you. And then that kind of evolved to like, when you would do chocolate cake deliveries, mm-hmm. you would take me and you would just have time in the car to talk. And so we had times where we could talk about anything, where I could share things that I was thinking, or you could share things that you were thinking, or you could ask me questions.
Yeah.
I remember right before I went through the temple, we were going out on some chocolate cake deliveries. And we were just in the car and you're like, hey, what questions do you have about the temple? What do you want to know? What do you feel like you need to know before you go so that you will be prepared? And that was one of the best discussions I think that we had, that prepared me for the temple. And it also prepared me a lot for my mission, because on my mission, I had to talk about the temple a lot. I had to explain the temple a lot.
Right.
And I could think back to that moment where we talked about it, where you shared with me, and I could remember ways to share with other people that they would understand who hadn't been. So.
Well, that's good. It's good I did something right. So, Annette, what have you done? Because you've got four kids that are very different from each other.
They are.
How have you found success in having a relationship with each one of them when what they want or need is so different from what one of the other kids might want or need?
I don't mean, you probably have to ask them to see how good of a job I did, but I tried really hard to respect their autonomy and let them be who they were instead of who I thought they should be or who I wanted them, who I wanted them to be.
Right.
And then like Carissa was saying, like, I tried really hard to just be excited for them about the things they were excited about. Mm-hmm. Like if they came to me, and I still try and do this, even with those, with the adult kids, and they want to tell me really, they're really excited about something. What would I want? I would want somebody to be excited with me, not tell me why I shouldn't do the thing that I am excited about, or maybe list some things that I should be really careful about, or those might be appropriate to share, but it's about timing, right? Like, Barry and I talked a lot about choosing wisely when to debrief.
Ooh, I love that.
And sometimes as parents, we want to debrief immediately when the situation happened, right? Maybe a bad choice was made or something,
right?
But that's like the worst time to debrief. There's a lot of emotions around there. You have to wait till all the emotions are done. And so trying to make sure in the moment we could enjoy the excitement, we could share the excitement or, you know, whatever it was, and then be very mindful about the time to come back in and then like, hey, here's some things that might be important to think about, because otherwise you're just a killjoy. I never wanted to be just like a killjoy when my kids, you know, they come in and they're like, oh, I did this really cool trick, and they're bleeding all over their knees or something. And like, really? Are you okay? Yeah. All right. Then show me all about it. And then, you know, then we'll clean up or something like that. And so that was something I try really hard now too, is just kind of, they are individual, unique beings, even though they came from the same genes.
Right. So did you follow any, I love that idea, by the way, of choosing when to have the debrief, because you really can deflate somebody if you have the debrief in the middle of all that emotion. Mm-hmm. So did you find success in specific things as you debriefed? Did you have some kind of a pattern or a process? Was it just casual conversation, or was it, come have a chat with me in my office? I have a few things I need to discuss. What worked well for you?
Well, when we did it well, it worked probably the best when it was more just curious questions. So, hey, can we talk about that thing? You know, whatever it was. And it might be, this was really difficult because sometimes as a parent, like, we don't want to forget, it's on our mind right then.
Right.
We feel like we need to handle that situation. Be like, sometimes it might be weeks later. Hey, can we talk about that thing that happened, you know, 2 weeks ago or whatever? And it was almost always met with sheepishness or embarrassment. You know, the emotion's gone. We can think clearly about it. So I tried really hard to be very sensitive. Like, I'm not here to shame. Let's just talk about it.
Right.
Like, and sometimes, you know, depending on the situation, it might be like, how do you think you handled that? How do you think that went? Mm-hmm. What, you know? And it was like, well, I probably could have done this better. And I was like, yeah, you know, and then I might share what, you know, like, maybe next time I'll try and do this differently, or, you know. And I would always tell my kids, I tried really hard to say, like, I want you to call me out if I'm like, I can't remember how I would say it, but basically I want to be a safe space for you to come and tell me whatever it is. So if you feel like I'm coming down on you or getting after you, then call me out on it.
Right.
We'll have that conversation later. And I've appreciated, even as a parent, if I've lost my cool, you know, to be able to go back later and be like, all right, we need to talk about that thing. I blew it.
Yeah.
You know, and hopefully that's setting a good example to where they see it's okay to admit that you've made a mistake or that you could have handled a situation better. And also with the benefit of hindsight, mm-hmm. you know, when you don't have the emotion in it, it's incredibly difficult. I'm sure you guys both know, right? In the moment, sometimes you want yeah. to, and I've even had to sometimes say, this isn't the time.
Right.
To have that conversation, yeah. you know, and that's tough if you want to pick a fight or if they want to pick a fight.
Right. So I'm wondering if you, Carissa, have had experiences like that where you felt like there were things that maybe needed to be addressed as you were growing up. And I don't want to hear about all my mistakes. I'm sure there are plenty. We were pretty good by the time we got to you. Poor Allison and Brendan took the brunt of most of those mistakes. But do you have any memories of experiences like that where you would be excited about something that then after the fact, we would come back and say, there might be something else to think about?
Put me on the spot.
Exactly.
I remember one when I wanted to do voice lessons instead of piano lessons because mm-hmm. I decided I didn't like piano. It was too hard.
Okay.
And you did say that you were willing to let me do voice lessons, but you did say there's going to be a point in time when voice lessons will be hard. It's not always going to be easy
right.
just because it's easy right now. And I think I kind of blew it off and you were like, I'm pretty sure even Mark, who's been doing voice lessons for a long time, he's in the choir. Like yeah. he still has times when he thinks it's hard. It's not always going to be easy.
Right.
I think that's one thing that comes first to mind. Yeah. And you didn't want me to give up because it was going to be hard. Like when it got to the point when it was hard. So.
Yeah. I think that, one of the things that I tried to do was tailor my parenting to the situation, but also to the child. There were times that I was able to, I remember a conversation with Allison. She was very young and, it wasn't a conversation. She was caught. She had, something green all around her mouth, like she had been chewing on a marker. And she was single digit ages. She was probably like 7, 6. Maybe 5. And so I walked up to her and she just looks sheepish. Like, you caught me. I said, so what's going on? And she showed me, she just kind of lowered her eyes and she held up this bottle of green food coloring. And I decided that I could go a couple of different directions. I could just really lay into her because that was a stupid decision. You've got green all over you, all over your nightgown. It's just a mess. Or I could use this as a true teaching moment that it, not necessarily me teaching, but let's let the situation teach you. And I decided, let's let the situation teach you. And I asked her if she wanted to find out what it tasted like. And she said, uh-huh. I said, how does it taste? Not very good. Oh, it doesn't taste right. Okay, let's go get you cleaned up. And she learned her lesson. The lesson is food coloring doesn't taste that good. So the hard thing, though, is maintaining that. And then as we're going to the bathroom to get her cleaned up, we pass by mom, who I did not have an opportunity to clue her into the conversation that we'd already had. So I just had to have this quick, you cannot get upset about this. We have to... Because we were also talking about being honest and make sure you tell the truth and all that. So that's a challenge. But there's a conversation I just had and I'm trying to, the details will come to me because I think it fits what we're talking about. But it's about as you, the maybe it was before we started recording. I don't remember. But the better you know your kids, and it's not just kids. This applies to everything. It applies to your spouse. It applies to your parents. It applies to your work people. It applies everywhere. But the better you know people, the more effective you can be in your relationships with them. So if this sounds familiar to you, remind me the details. Because it was just, it was today. I was having this conversation with somebody about the better. Oh, I'll tell you the story.
I love watching a conscious stream of thought.
Isn't it great? This is not scripted. Can you tell? So I have a personality. A, that's true. B, I like having fun. I like having fun with people. So I have this, it was a selfie that I took at work, and it was just me, cheesy smile, thumbs up. And I made it the cover of my book, my Surviving the Boss book. And it's the one you guys have on your wall. Yeah. So
we've since added to it. Hopefully that doesn't offend you.
Oh, probably not. Is it more than the googly eyes?
You now have a mustache.
Oh, that's amazing. That's fantastic. So A, it's an entertaining to me anyways picture. I have it blown up to poster size. I have also maybe made full size queen size blankets with that image on it. So
as you should,
as I should. Mom got one for Mother's Day a couple of years ago, because who doesn't need more of this face in their life? And so family that I minister to just moved out of our ward. Great, great family. They supported us during some hard times. We supported them during some hard times. And I have a picture. We were having some dinner at a friend's house at the French's. And there's Jeff Jensen laying on the couch with this Sherpa fleece blanket wrapped around him. And I have this idea. Jeff needs a blanket with Ken's face on it. So it arrived yesterday.
Oh, fantastic.
Jeff is traveling. So I texted Melinda this morning and I said, I want video of Jeff when he opens this up. And she had just opened it. She sent me pictures of it laying on the bed. He's traveling. He'll be back tomorrow night. So she has promised she's going to take video. But the thing that's fun is the better you know somebody, I know that Jeff loves to take naps on Sunday afternoon. The better you know somebody, the more effective your relationship can be. Mm-hmm. So this is true with your spouse, it's true with your kids, it's true with your parents, it's true with every single relationship. The better you know them, the more effective you can be. Now, on the flip side, the better you know them, the easier you can hurt them.
That's true.
And I think that's where we need to be careful, because especially if we get angry, it gets really, really tempting to hurt them. I'm going to let you guys comment on that, and then I've got something that I can follow up if we don't progress down the conversation.
Well, you're talking about your friend that likes to take naps. I know you like to take naps too, but you don't have to like to take naps. Wait, that sounded rude. You don't have to like naps to help him enjoy and appreciate his nap. So I think that's a perfect example of how you don't have to necessarily be interested in the thing.
Right.
To help somebody, to celebrate somebody's interest in something. And whether that's Minecraft or camping or hiking or photography or pickleball, you know, whatever it is.
Right. Do you have any kids that like pickleball?
What?
Do you have any kids that like pickleball?
I don't think so.
Oh, weird.
I do have one that's obsessed with pickleball.
I don't know if obsessed is the right word.
I think
see him every day.
Is there something stronger than obsession?
Yeah, it's...
But I wanted to say from before, and then I'll circle back. Like, I have an adult child who was really excited telling me about this camping trip they were going to do with a group of friends. Mm-hmm. And as I listened to them talk to me about it, I thought, I have an opportunity here to list all the reasons why I don't think this is a good idea.
Right.
Or to just listen.
Right.
And they're very excited. And so to be very excited with them.
Yeah.
And then later, I could say, hey, here's some, you know, I was thinking about your trip, and these are some two concerns that I, like, have you thought about this at all? And one of them was like, yeah, we have. Cool. The other one was, oh no, I haven't thought about that at all. Mm-hmm. And so I think some of that's just, it's about timing. And, you know, I know we've talked about the natural man a lot. I think that's one of the things of the natural man is to just be more self-centric. And we're thinking about us, mm-hmm. and how whatever is being done affects us instead of how we respond is affecting the person. Yeah. Right. Stepping into the discomfort of waiting days, weeks, hours, whatever it is, till it's appropriate to be able to, well, you're calm and they're calm, or the emotion, whether it's a good excited emotion or, you know, worried, scared, you know, any other feeling or emotion before mm-hmm. we bring that up, because otherwise you are, you know, like hurting them. And I don't think that's the intent. That's never been my intent. I don't think it's any parent's intent or friend's intent to be like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to hurt you.
Right. Yeah. I don't
know. But I think we do that when not even necessarily maliciously, uh-huh. Like you could have maybe alluded to in your earlier question of it just happens because we know them so well. And in that moment, we're not actually thinking about the person. We're thinking about ourselves and our own discomfort at whatever it is that's happening. Am I making any sense?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think so.
So if we just love everybody, I feel like I just have to throw in those two things every time.
Yes. Well, and I don't know that we do it maliciously, but I think sometimes we do it out of anger. I think sometimes we're angry and it because it's easy to hurt somebody that you know well. It's so easy to just throw a cheap shot out that, mm-hmm. I was watching a video the other day that said, was talking about why men don't open up to their partners. And he said, if you ever take something that we say in a moment of vulnerability and throw it back at us, then we'll never be open again. We'll never be vulnerable with you again. And that's what I'm talking about. I think sometimes that happens. Frustration, anger, whatever. I don't think that it's, well, I may yeah, but myself.
Ooh, this is going to be fun.
Comments from you, Carissa, and then I may yeah, but myself.
Yeah, I think like both of what you and Annette were saying, are super true. I think it's because you know someone so well, it can be easy to hurt them, whether it's out of anger or just thinking about yourself or not thinking in the moment. And I think because in those relationships with family, you know someone so well, and they also hold you to like a higher regard, a higher, spot in your mind than other people. So what you say really matters to them. Mm-hmm. And so if you say something, it can really hurt them. I don't know if you remember this, Dad, but I think there was a time when I was like 13 or 12 or 14. I was young, but I thought I was older.
Yes, one of those.
And I didn't talk to you for like 2 days straight because I was mad. And you finally had to come up to me and be like, what happened? Like, what did I do? What's wrong? Please talk to me. Please tell me what's going on. And it wasn't even something that you had done. It was that Allison had hacked your Facebook page. And by hacked, I mean it was left open. And she had posted something as you. And I thought it was you who had said that.
Probably something about my favorite daughter.
Yes. And she had posted that she was your favorite daughter. But she had mentioned me specifically and said, oh, sorry, Carissa, like, I just don't love you that much, or something like that. That was silly to say for a sister to say, but for my dad to say was like devastating to me.
Right.
And so, and it wasn't.
And I probably didn't even know it happened.
Yeah, I don't think you knew it had happened. And, but I was so mad and so upset that I like couldn't look at you and couldn't talk to you for like 2 days. Until you finally were like, okay, what's going on? Like, I can tell something's up. And it's, I think it's because like our words and the things that we say and the things that we do to the people that we love matter so much more than like our coworkers or things like that, because right. we're held to a higher standard with our family.
Yeah. So I'm thinking about, first of all, Facebook memories come up, and sometimes I think, what was I thinking? I don't remember this post at all. Weird stuff. And I think that post, that memory came up at one point, and I thought, oh, I don't know what I was thinking on this one, but, so my yeah, but there is, I think it supports what we originally talked about individual parenting. And there's a great TV show. I say great because I thought it was funny, called Malcolm in the Middle many years ago. And Lois and Hal, the parents, are just at their wits' end. They have no idea how to control their boys. And Francis, he's at a military school. He is making chaos there. So at home, there's Reese, Malcolm, and Dewey. Malcolm is the middle of the three. So Malcolm in the middle. So Reese is out of control as well. He's the school bully. He's always causing problems. Well, he discovers he loves the kitchen. He loves cooking. And he's talented at it. So he gets into some classes and things like that. Well, then he makes a stupid decision. I don't remember what the decision was, but he gets in trouble. And Hal and Lois decide that they're going to take away his opportunity to cook. And he said, okay, fine. And Lois clarifies, that means no cooking, no baking, no, you didn't say, you said no cooking. And so they take away this privilege that stings because they know him and they know what his interests are. But they end the episode by discussing Hal and Lois are saying, we finally can get some results because we know how to hurt him. And I don't know that we necessarily want to hurt maliciously, but sometimes we need to get people's attention. And you get their attention by doing something that is going to hurt. And it not a physical hurt necessarily, not a an emotional hurt, but a it could be a, I don't even know what other options there are. Could be a social hurt. So Annette, think about as we're growing up, if mom and dad told me that I couldn't go to a dance, I don't know how upset I would be, at least in the early days.
You probably would have been grateful.
That's right. Really, please punish me for 2 months instead of just 1 month. So that wouldn't have hurt. But if you had punished Greg with that, that would have gotten his attention.
Sure. Yeah.
And so I think, like I said, not in a malicious way, but I think there are times that you need to get your kids' attention. And I'm not interested in getting into a spanking debate, but sometimes a little swat that was not designed to be painful at all. I think of, I'm not going to reveal which of my kids, probably because I don't remember which one it is, but they were not hurt. They were offended that they got the little swat. Why would you do that? Because you're not paying attention. You're not doing what you need to do. And I think mom and I were good for the most part. I can't remember a time that we ever acted in anger. I think there were plenty of times that we may have flipped a a mouth or something like that just to get attention that, no, you don't say those words. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get myself in trouble if I'm not careful. But I think here's how I'm going to close that loop. I think there's power as we know people, as we know people's personalities, there's power in blessing their lives because we know how to amplify the blessings because we know what they, a blanket to a friend who loves naps is going to be a more meaningful blessing than maybe a like a pair of running shoes to somebody who doesn't run. Mm-hmm. So, but that's a superpower that can also backfire if you use it maliciously.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's important to remember that, and you and I have talked about this, even within the same family unit, people are having different lived experiences.
Right.
You know, you and I have talked about, we were raised by the same parents, only a few years apart. So we're not even talking like a decade or even 5 years. Right. And we had different lived experiences because of that. And partly because like you probably really wore mom and dad down.
Okay, let's be fair.
They were different with me. And also different interpretations of, you know, whatever the instruction was. And so I think remembering that even with your own children or other people that you might be engaging with are having maybe a different lived experience in the same, maybe the same religious community or the same school community or whatever that is. And then believing them when they share that they have a different lived experience than you. I think that's really, really key to true ministering, is believing somebody when they share their lived experience. And that might even be that your kids, right? They're sharing a lived experience that they had, and maybe it doesn't match up with yours, and that's okay. But sometimes I think we get offended or we worry that maybe we did something wrong or they got it wrong instead of, and I think sometimes if we take a step back and take some time before we respond, it gives us the opportunity to examine our own thinking. Are we coming from it from a place because they're doing something, our child or a sibling or a friend is doing something that we wouldn't do. Mm-hmm. And so therefore we've judged the event. You know, I think especially with kids, I caught myself sometimes with parenting, you know, your kids do something that you're like, I never did that. Uh-huh. And I had a kid that snuck out occasionally and I never snuck out growing up. Mom, I never snuck out.
You know what this means in Portugal?
No, but I feel like it means you're lying.
So,
you know, but it's like, so just respecting that the lived experience might be, make me uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know if I'm making sense.
I think so.
But just not, yeah, that, yes.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Is that better? But for Carissa, you probably didn't have any different lived experience than any of your siblings.
No, we all are exactly the same. Think exactly the same. Wow.
Sometimes I can't tell all of you apart. I'm like, you all are the same.
As infants, we had two models. We had a boy model and a girl model. And Carissa and Allison, we can tell them apart, and it's entertaining to see people who can't tell them apart. But
wait, really? There's people that can't tell them apart?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, that's funny.
There's a significant height difference between the two now.
There is. But well, your facial features are different.
Yeah. Carissa has this great dimple, and Allison does not have a dimple.
That's right.
So that's one way that you can tell them apart. But when Carissa was on her mission, we went to visit with Allison, and the sweet president's wife came to Allison, who was married at this point, and said, isn't it great visiting your big sister? When you're old enough, you can go on a mission too.
No.
Yes.
And then when you came home from your mission, who was it that saw Allison and thought it was you? Or was it the other way, that they saw you and thought it was Allison?
I think it was when Tenney got home from his mission, he saw me and thought I was Allison.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
But yeah, I've been asked about like how Justin's doing and dental school and like all of these things. And I just nod and answer to the best of my knowledge. Great. He's great. It's hard, but he loves it.
Sometimes people get me and Mark confused. That's why I had to let my hair grow. Because
oh my goodness, yes. Yes, I can see that. Well, and I don't think Greg and I look that much alike.
No.
But I will tell you, I was not surprised at Aunt Kathy's funeral when Uncle John called me Greg.
Really? That's kind of funny.
Because he's the one who consistently mixes us up. So, yeah. I'm trying to think if I have anything else that I want to add to that. There was something that came up. Here's what I want to add. This is how I'm going to wrap it up, and then you guys can dispute or agree or whatever you want to do. But one of you said the word ministering or minister, and I think that's what this is. It's about ministering.
I can't hear you anymore.
I lost you.
You lost me?
No.
Well, I'm here. I don't know what you guys did.
Oh, no. I really wanted to hear what he was going to say.
The funny thing is, it's all recording on my side. So,
daughter, and I just really
true. We can do bad lip reading.
So, so we'll show the captions. Here we go. So you hear you'll see what I don't know what happened with Zoom. I guess this has happened occasionally, but I've not had it. So
is he pranking us?
No, I'm not pranking you. Let me make sure that my
Grayson, what's he saying?
What I want to know is,
here we go.
Is our audio recording? Oh, wait, you're back. Is our audio recording or is his audio recording?
Everybody's audio is recording. Oh. But the weird thing is that Zoom switched my microphone to a different microphone.
Oh, that's weird.
And so I switched it back. And so here we are. But the recording has picked up everything.
Well, that's especially funny.
So when you listen to this podcast, then it'll have this. Wait, what? Are you guys, is he pranking us? No, I was not pranking you, but so I will continue. Here's what I was saying. One of you talked about ministering, and I think that's what this is. I think we minister to our kids. We minister to our spouse. We minister to our friends. We minister to everybody. Everybody that's, if we think about, so here's my hypothesis. Here's what I'm going to present. If you interact with everybody, every interaction that you have, if you think of it as a ministering relationship, then number one, you can approach it from the perspective that you are there to add value, to show Christ's love to that person in every reaction. So if we make that our premise, I was talking to somebody the other day as I was sharing chocolate cake. And he said, oh, this is so hard. You do so much. But it's not that hard. I enjoy doing it. It's become a part of my life. I occasionally will take a week off. But if I don't, then sometimes I'll share one cake. Sometimes it'll be more than that. But it's not, we don't have to make it a hard thing. It doesn't have to be a difficult thing to bless people's lives. And I think that's what I want to say, is that we can have that kind of a relationship with people, whether it's our kids or each other, whatever else. The end. That's what I got.
So I'm going to add one thing to you, is okay. You said, but it's not that hard for you, because that person might have been like, that's too overwhelming for me to try and make cakes and deliver. Like the thought of having to get in my car and go multiple places. And like, Chris, I'm sure with you, and like, you're getting a baby in and out, like that is overwhelming, and that would be hard, but
I want to clarify.
Right. No, you already said the end. You already said you were done.
Oh, dang it.
And now it's my turn.
Now I'm going to turn your microphone off so you can't say anything.
clarify away.
No, the clarification is, so I do cake. I'm not saying that everybody should do cake. I'm saying that if you approach your interactions from a service standpoint, I'm here to serve you. That's not hard.
Right.
And you work.
And you didn't let me finish because I was going to come full circle. But you got a tap, and that's okay. We can talk about this maybe in a week or so when you're not feeling quite as emotional.
It was nice chatting with you. Talk to you next week. Here we go.
Thank you for listening to Chocolate Cake Bites.
No, I was just kidding. We're not doing it right yet. You may continue.
But what I was going to say is like that, I was going to clarify, like, so for me, something that I found that I can do is like, if I'm talking to somebody, whether it's over text message or on the phone or in person, and they tell me something that sticks out to me, mm-hmm. I will make a note of it. I have a digital to-do list. I'll make a note of it to remind me to check back in with that person on whatever that thing is, whether if they're really excited, hey, how did that thing go?
Right.
Or somebody in their family is not doing well with their health. Because I have a terrible memory, I try and like make a note and then I'll circle back and check back in later. Hey, I just was thinking about you. How is your dad doing? Or how's this doing? And because I think it does the same thing as chocolate cake, it lets the person know you were thinking about them.
Right.
You elevate that person to the status of important enough to be thought about. For no reason other than they're an important person.
Right.
And so when we take our relationships to a ministry, the other thing that I think it does, which was, I pictured like a frazzled mom, like yelling at her kids because it's the end of the day and nobody had naps and they're frustrated or whatever the circumstances. Mm-hmm. And then somebody comes to the door or the phone rings. And you see this in TV and movies all the time. Hello, like cheerful. But we do that with our ministering, right? Like we might put on our best face for those that we minister to, even when we're feeling away. Uh-huh. And so if we approach our relationship with our family, with our children, with our siblings, whatever that situation is, in that way, I think it can help remove some of the maybe unrealized expectation that we have, mm-hmm. that person is going to react or behave a certain way. Like when we put these expectations on people and maybe even without them knowing or without us knowing, it can strain the relationship. Right. Does that make any sense?
I think so.
That's what I said.
Okay. Are you Krista? Done?
I don't know. I reserve the right to recall myself to testify again at any time. Love others.
Yeah, you already said that one time.
I'm going to say it again.
I agree. Something that I thought about while you were talking is about how love is service. Like that's how you develop a love for someone, and is by serving them. And it also changes your perspective when you try to serve someone versus when, because it makes you think outside of yourself. And that's the best way to love someone, is to love them instead of thinking about how they're not loving you. And and it made me think of, I took a parenting class when I was in college, so I'm pretty much a pro.
Nice.
just kidding. But we read this book and it had in it a way of thinking. It talked about the way of being. And it had a pyramid of what to do when parenting, but also in any relationship. And the bottom part of it is just talking about how your relationship with that person is, and the top of it being correcting whatever it is that needs to be correcting. Mm-hmm. And so it's a pyramid saying the bottom portion of the pyramid should be where you are most of the time. And if you're having a trouble with any part of the pyramid to go down. And I feel like a lot of the pyramid is based on services, based on ministering. Because the bottom part is improving just how you think about that person, improving your way of being with that person. And then, so just building your relationship with them, but also building your relationship with God. So that you have a better perspective on it. And then as you go up, you build a relationship with other people who have influence with that child or with that person. So if it's with your child, you have to build a relationship with your spouse. You have to build a relationship with their friends, with the things that they love, the things that they like, talking about what we did earlier, or we were talking about earlier. And then going up another step is building a relationship directly with that person, spending time with them, doing things that they like. And then you go up another step and it's listening from them and learning from them. Because you always have something to learn from someone, whether that's your child, that's your spouse, that's anyone in your life, is listening to them, seeing what they have to say. And then you can go up to teach and communicate. Once you've listened to them, like Annette said, you can't always correct or talk to someone in that moment when the emotions are high. They're just excited. You have to just be excited with them. Mm-hmm. But then after that moment has passed, then you can teach, you can communicate with them, be like, oh, did you think about this? What about this? Here are my concerns, like she said. And then once you get past teach and communicate, you can correct, saying like, okay, now that we've talked about that, this is what we have to do from to fix this. This is how, whether it's, this is the rule that we have in our family. And because we've talked about this more now, like, is that something that you can uphold? Or is that, I think this works too with a gospel perspective on how God corrects us. Is he teaches us first. He helps us learn. He listens to us and he does what he can to build the relationship, but we also have to build that relationship with him, and then he'll correct us. Then he'll help us in that way. But he will correct us when he needs to. So I think that's a good model for me of like visualizing a lot of the things that we've talked about, is like spending that time to build a relationship with someone is so important.
Yeah. And the relationship is, I don't want to, open up a new can of worms. So maybe this will be next week's conversation. Who knows? But the relationship is with the person as he or she is now, not as you think he or she should be.
Yeah.
So that gets a little bit tricky sometimes, because people make choices that are different than what I think they should. And of course, I know everybody. I know what choice everybody should be making all the time. And if they disagree with me, then they're obviously wrong. So,
well, and we put our expectations on other people too. Yes. Right.
Yeah. And we assume that their behavior that's contrary to our wishes is a personal indictment of our values or our, importance. So, or our value. So there you go. Okay. Chew on that one for this week, and then we'll talk next week. So, no, I think that's right. I think it's that's a good place to wrap it up, that this is about developing a relationship with the one, and not trying to manage what the relationship looks like from their perspective, but making the relationship from your perspective what it should be. So there you go. That's what I got. Thanks for listening. Have a lovely week. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you for listening to Chocolate Cake Bites. Please like, share, subscribe, and give us a 5-star rating and review. We'd love to hear your comments and ideas, and you can reach out to me at ken@chocolatecakebites.com. And before you end the day, take a few minutes to consider, who do you know who needs chocolate cake?